powder, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yeehaw, and word to your mother. And thank you for joining us for another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Might feel a little lighter, a little more empty in your eardrums today, because it's just two of the last Mohicans, man. It's me, it's your boy, Chris Mitchum, hostess with the mostest, manager of Team Fair Life, joined by my best friend for the evening, Aaron Hunt, the manager of the Sun God Squad.
What is going on, Chris? Happy Halloween to you, and happy Halloween to the rest of you out there. Did you dress up in a costume this year at all, Chris? I feel like I missed the boat on that a little bit.
I did not. No costume for me this year. Samson, my English bulldog, put him in the same uniform that you put Butler Blue, the mascot for the Butler Bulldogs. They look identical. So that's what he was walking around with, was the Butler Blue jersey. He could probably get away with it if we walked around Butler's campus, I bet.
Similar vibes in the Hunt household. We dressed up our dog Zola in a taco costume.
Tacos. Who sucks that it wasn't tacos?
Sucks that it wasn't a Taco Tuesday Halloween. Mm. You know what I mean? That could have really sealed the deal on the theme, but nonetheless, we did our part at least with our dog. So, and you did too. So shout out us.
Shout out dogs, bro. Shout out to the dogs, four-legged and twos, all the dog outs there. As Aaron mentioned, it is Halloween. It is October 31st, a Thursday, and it is the evening. I said that all kind of weird, out of order. I don't know what I just did there. Thursday night, though, means we do have the Houston Texans-New York Jets dynamite matchup on in the background, and it's about as dynamite as you would expect. 0-0 with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. And it's been an ugly game. Malachi Corley decided to drop a touchdown because he was celebrating and because he's 12 years old. So
good luck. Cut out.
Good luck getting on the field. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to cut you probably. We do have a packed show for you today. And, of course, we're missing out. Tim, get to feeling better, I think, with all of the sickness going around. He's unfortunately down with something, so we got to make up. Pull the slack this week, Aaron. We can do it. We can do it.
Oh, yeah. We got you back, Tim. Hope you feel better. Get that voice back. You'll be back in no time next week.
Get the voice back like this. I always have to adjust so many sound settings whenever he's on. Anyway.
I can't get to that deep of an octave either.
Right. Your agenda for today. We got a pack shot for you. We have a trade ring, ladies and gentlemen. Two combatants getting in. Seeing who won the trade. A first was involved. So buckle in on that one. We have a What's Going On, where we run through the top stories of the week. The Week 8 review, another edition of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic, in case you forgot. An official standings update. The This League guarantee. When I tell you we are hot, we are on fire, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in for another edition of that. And then, of course, the Week 8 preview. Aaron, what are we drinking this evening? It's a nice 9:18 p.m. on Halloween.
Man, it was a long day for me. I got home from work about 6:30.
Don't do it.
I know. I'm going for it. I'm sorry. I got to do the game. It's the H2O. It's back.
All right.
It is back. But good news is I will be having some nice beers tomorrow night to make up for it.
Excellent. I am rocking some Basil Hayden cask finish whiskey this evening. Ooh, it is delightful. Ooh. Yeah. So
that's the fancy stuff for Halloween, huh?
I'm bringing enough punch for the both of us, man.
Absolutely. And that glass. Look at that. I don't think I've seen that.
Hey, no pinky up. That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, that was your drink of the week. Before week 8 even occurred, we had a trade that sent shockwaves. That might be a little too much, but it was a pretty significant trade for the league. Aaron, one of us was in it, which means the other one of us has to judge it. Are you ready?
I am ready, I think.
The This League Trade Ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are unfamiliar with the This League trade ring, two contestants enter the ring and battle it out, and the judges will determine a victory. The victor of the trade is not just win now. We take into account the dynasty perspective. Picks, are you rebuilding? Are you win now? We try to take into account all of that and see who did the best for the long-term aspect of their squad. Like I said, it's just two of us, and I was a combatant in this trade, so Aaron's going to be the ultimate decider of this matchup. As we open up the ring, it was Don and Njigbas and Paris going up against your boy, Team Fair Life. The details were as follows. Don and Njigbas and Paris receives wide receiver George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers and Team Uninspired Youth's 2025 second round pick. Again, that is Pickens and Anthony's 2025 second. And your boy receives Don's and Jigba's in Paris 2025 first round pick, which at this rate, guaranteed top four. I'll take it, and I'll leave that there. So that is your trade. It's short and sweet, but I mean, George Pickens is 22 years old. We know he's got talent. And anytime you get a top four pick in a class like the 2025, there's a lot of moving pieces and only one person to decide the winner for all of eternity. Aaron, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right, Aaron, the winner of the one and only round of the trade ring. 3, 2, 1.
It's going to be Chris.
Ka-chow. Even though I feel like it's pretty close. I feel like it's pretty close. Real quick, why'd you go with me on that one?
So I think this trade will probably have a variety of reactions across the league. I think some people may look at this and be like, what's going on, Don? Other people might even be like, okay, Don, I mean, I kind of see what you're doing here. I fall in the middle. And I don't think you win this by a ton, Chris. I still think you win. George Pickens, 23 years old, like you mentioned, in the early stages of his career, I still think his prime is very much ahead of him. We know how talented he is. And you also get a 2025 second, albeit it's probably going to be late given Anthony's rise in the power rankings and also just the wins that he's accumulating recently. The reason that I am saying you win is because of that fact that this is going to be a top four pick. And in Dynasty, a top four first round draft pick is just monumental usually. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about even this past rookie draft, right? Of who went in the top four. I mean, those are big time names.
Yeah,
right?
What, top four last year was Harrison, Neighbors, Jonathan Brooks, Brock Bowers. Was that top four?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I mean, we know three of four are good, and fourth one's yet to be seen.
But those are just, you know, typically surefire rebuild type pieces that you're going to have in your lineup for hopefully years to come, right? And I don't know if, man, the opportunity to get somebody like that in the 2025 rookie draft to keep adding to Don's rebuilding roster, I'm not sure I'm trading that away for George Pickens, who, yes, is talented, but is he really him? In the sense that, is he really that caliber of a player who is going to propel you the way a top four pick would? I think the jury's still out. We could maybe look back at this trade in a couple of years and maybe we're wrong. Maybe George Pickens is a top 10 wide receiver in football, in fantasy football specifically. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't honestly see that happening right now, but I'm just saying, like, it is a possibility given his talent and if he can figure things out from a maturity perspective too. I think you get the win, but I'm not saying it's a, you know, you fleeced Don by any means. It sounds like Don was just the right partner because he obviously believes in George Pickens.
He does. Yeah. And I knew there would be somebody out there that did because he is talented. And I mean, I know I told you and Tim this, but I'm not sure if I told anybody else in the league. After I played Tim and I benched DJ Moore in favor of George Pickens, and it was Sunday night and he was throwing a tantrum and I lost by like 12 points. And if I would have played DJ Moore, I would have won. After that game, I had a post-it note on my laptop at home that said, trade George Pickens no matter what. I'm not kidding you. I was so upset. And I was so upset because it made sense. Like, you had Justin Fields at the time, and Justin Fields and DJ Moore together was a wide receiver one combination. I think DJ Moore finished as the wide receiver six last year. So I was like, surely it makes sense. They're almost in identical positions. There's no wide receiver two in Pittsburgh. And the fact that Pittsburgh is making it no secret that they're going out and searching for a wide receiver two or even a wide receiver one, you know, Ayuk, Davante Adams, well, I think was another factor. But the fact that Justin Fields couldn't do it, George Pickens couldn't do it with Justin Fields whenever DJ Moore did it, I was like, okay, he's not at DJ Moore's level. I think I need to be aiming higher. I think I have the depth to aim higher, which is why I got rid of him as soon as he had a good game. Get rid of George Pickens no matter what. But like you said, he's still 23. He still obviously has so much talent when you look at it. Honestly, he probably got robbed of two touchdowns last week that might have made a very big difference in mine and Don's game, and we'll get to that later. But I agree with you. I think some people would look at this and say Don wins. You know, he gets a second in a good draft class and a wide receiver two that's not even 24 years old yet for a first. I'm not mad at that. So Aaron, in all of his wisdom, picked me to win, but this is maybe one where we need some more input. So who do you think win this one? Reach out to us, thisleague_pod. Let us know. And that was this edition of The Trade Ring. Aaron, how about we get into some news now?
Let's do it.
What's going on? The segment where we hit the top news stories of the week. And Aaron,
that music, you know what happened.
Stephon Diggs out for the year, torn ACL. This stinks for the man. It does stink for the man. You're a free agent next year. You're playing well, man. Wide receiver one levels.
He really was, and he just fits so nicely as well in Anthony's flex spot. Yeah. Exactly how I sold it to him whenever I made the trade. I was like, look, you're not going to get better than probably this when it comes to just a guy that fits your mold. You're already old across the board. This guy comes onto your roster, can, you know, get some points Absolutely. For you in the flex spot that he desperately needed at the time. And I think Anthony's still going to be okay, but...
Well, that was gonna be my question, is how devastating is this to him? Because I personally think it has to hit hard, because you gave a first for this guy, and you got a first to try to get another elite guy so you could keep up with the elites of the league, and it worked, which is the really sad part, and now it's gone, and you're not getting it back, which means you have to turn more frequently to the people like Amari Cooper, who hasn't quite gotten it going in Buffalo yet. Ramondre Stevenson, you know, might have to start changing to Keenan Allen now. You know, it's a lot of guys that I think at the beginning of the year, Anthony realized wasn't quite good enough for what he wanted to achieve. We're right back there. And I think that really stinks. And probably the biggest hit Anthony, you know, probably couldn't have asked for outside of Christian McCaffrey, who's already been out for a long time.
Yeah. And I think the severity of this will really be tested when Chuba Hubbard is no longer startable, because I think that day's coming, right? With Jonathan Brooks coming back, he's going to take probably a majority of that line share in Carolina, especially just given the draft capital that they utilized on him. So yet to be seen the full effects of it, and you're going to get Christian McCaffrey back. So, you know, Anthony's still upper echelon of the league, in my opinion, but you know, maybe it'll knock him down a spot.
Yeah, I say all this, and literally Joe Mixon just scored a touchdown and has almost 100 yards and a touchdown in the first half.
He's unbelievable.
What, he's burning so hot. It's crazy. Anyway.
I mean, you want me to... I'll read you his last three games stat line in our
stupid
league. 27 points, 26 points, 23 points.
And he's already up to 15 in the first half. Yeah. It's crazy. God.
And so he would have went... Maybe he would have went over 100 yards probably as well against Chicago if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like he's doing just fine. Deontay Johnson traded to the Ravens. To me, this is very much a lateral move, if not a decrease move. And I think the bigger question here is, what does that do to Zay Flowers? I mean, we're back to Anthony here, who's been starting Zay Flowers pretty consistently. He also has Lamar Jackson, though, so that could, you know, balance it out that way. Any thoughts on this one?
I don't get this trade for the Ravens.
Oh, I do.
Honestly.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I think they want better than Rashad Bateman, who's been playing well. But, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is he's been actually coming on. Yeah.
I don't know who their third string is. You know, they don't have Devin Duvernay anymore. Nelson Agholor. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But the fact that you literally got Deontay Johnson for, what was it, like a, it was basically just like a, to move a round up or something. Like, didn't the Panthers get a fifth and the Ravens got Deontay Johnson in a sixth or something? Like,
I actually didn't see the full details of the trade.
It was very low, I know.
Yeah, he went to the Ravens. So you could be right. I mean, I think from a fantasy perspective, it probably will eventually hurt Zay Flowers a little bit just because the passing pie in Baltimore is just not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Lamar Jackson is never going to drop back and throw 50 times in a game. You know, like he's probably going to always be max, like what I'd have to probably look it up, but I'm going to bet that the highest passing attempts total for him this year is not eclipse 35.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's pretty much a nothing burger given everything. I guess you could argue it helps Lamar Jackson.
Okay. I take that back. His highest total this year was 42, which is surprising to me that they've thrown that he had a game where he threw 42, but it's so inconsistent.
Yeah. All right. We're spending a lot of time on the news, but this one is going to make us spend even more time because Flacco, the starting quarterback for the Colts, moving forward, Richardson benched. Aaron, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, man. My initial reaction was one of absolute anger and disgust of the Colts organization. You draft a 21-year-old, and you're preaching, oh, yeah, he's inexperienced. Yeah, he's going to need time. Yeah, he's a project. Yeah, he's going to take time. It's going to take patience, Colts fan. He's exciting, blah, 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 blah. And then he doesn't even play like nine full games in his career, and you bench him. Was like my initial reaction, and I was about to burn down Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard and everybody. Then I thought, and then I thought, and then I thought. I think this has to do more with the tap out play than people think. Like, obviously, the Colts organization isn't going to say, "Yeah, he's a pussy," and we benched him. You know, like that's not going to happen. But the comments from Ryan Kelly saying, yeah, obviously we expected better for him. Zaire Franklin gets on is like, you can't do that as a leader in the locker room. Even if nobody is flat out saying he lost the locker room, the amount that Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen were saying, you have to play to develop. You have to play to develop. That was their thing. If you're on the bench, you're not developing. And all of a sudden to have this change of heart. And Shane Steichen was literally asked about that of like, hey, you've already said they have to play to develop. So what now? And now he's completely done a 180 and says, well, now I think he can learn behind a veteran. I think that play had a lot to do with it. I maybe he didn't completely lose the locker room, but maybe this is a sit the rest of this year, dude, because maybe you don't have the mentality of a quarterback yet. You don't have what it takes to lead a franchise if you're doing that. And that might have been the most innocent thing in the world that he did. And maybe he really was tired and people were defending him. He did run a lot on those two or three plays before he came out. But I think he knows now that this was a mistake and something that a leader can't do, a franchise quarterback can't do. Mm-hmm. And those are my thoughts. And we're spending a lot of time on the news, and I promise we'll burn through the last one. But I'll give you the floor as well. You know, we're Colts fans here. Everybody's thinking, oh, Colts fans, they love that he's benched. Oh, Colts fans must hate that he's benched. You don't freaking know what we think. All right? We're the actual Colts fans for 20-plus years of our lives. So what are your thoughts on this, Aaron?
I'm going to try to be succinct with my thoughts because I do have a lot of them here. And I think back to my former days of playing football in high school, which I know is not the same as playing in the NFL.
Didn't you bring this up the other day as well? What? Oh, it was with Bryce Young. It was with Bryce Young you brought this up, which is funny.
Yeah. Which, like, I know is not apples to apples. Like, for all of our listeners, do not get on my case about this. I get it.
Aaron, starting quarterback.
I've never sniffed the NFL. I don't plan to. Pads aren't going on again. No semi-pro, you know, drunk football going on or anything. But from my experience in a locker room with guys that have a common goal of trying to win games, it is a very tough and hard balancing act to be patient when you know the guy that's playing is not giving you the best chance to win. There are, especially in NFL, dudes that aren't guaranteed even past next game, let alone the year, and need a guy who's going to perform to the level that he's capable of. And I just think Anthony, at this point in time, he just needs to develop his confidence a little more. And I also think he was put in a tough position because if I'm the coaching staff, you're with these players day in and day out. You're with them in practice. Like, you see the inconsistencies. You're seeing him not being accurate with his throws. And yet you're still saying, okay, we're committed to putting him out there. He's going to develop. And then now you're backtracking. It just creates a lot of confusion in the locker room
right.
for players. And it almost just feels like, okay, if you did want your team to have the best chance to win, you know, your first chance was starting Joe Flacco from the start, right? And letting Anthony Richardson sit
Maybe.
The rest of,
yeah.
of the year. And
because the argument that he has regressed, I'll give it to people. It does look like he's regressed a little bit, but not so much to the point that, you know, he's not a quarterback for any team and you got to bench him, in my opinion.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of raw talent. I think he just needs a little more poise when it comes to playing the quarterback position and footwork and just all of these different things that go into it, commanding a huddle, knowing the protections, all of that stuff. I think he's going to get better at, but he's definitely just not there. And I think what really hurts is that the fact he gets hurt so often, and we got to see how good Joe Flacco was compared to him. I think we're underestimating how much of an impact that has, because you got people seeing Joe Flacco putting up 34 points at Jacksonville, right? And then you come back to Anthony Richardson against the Dolphins and he looks like he can't even play with Pee Wee.
Right.
I mean, it was that drastic of a difference. In my opinion,
we're going to beat the Vikings, aren't we?
Yeah. We're going to dominate them. So we're
probably going to beat the Vikings.
I'm going to wrap this up, put a bow on this. I think the benching is logical. Whether I agree with it or not is complex just because you started with AR. It feels like you got to keep going with them because you made that initial decision. But at a certain point, if a guy is truly not giving you the best chance to win, maybe it is best for his confidence to let the other guy go.
Yeah, if there's anything out of this, I'm still a Shane Steichen believer, man. I see the birdies starting to come out and being like, oh, he's overrated, he's failed. I'm still a Shane Steichen believer because the fact that you're over 500 and your quarterbacks have been Gardner Minshew, Sam Ellinger, Anthony Richardson, and Joe Flacco, that man can coach. So don't let those people bring you down. I'm still a Steichen believer. Yep. All right. Last bit of news. Christian McCaffrey back after the bye week. We just talked about how Anthony might be getting, you know, pooped on by the Deontay Johnson trade with Zay Flowers. It might be getting pooped on by Stephon Diggs going down. And all of a sudden, he gets the best fantasy football player in the past decade back on his team.
I'm curious, though. I mean, I never personally have had Achilles tendonitis. I actually don't know anybody personally either who has suffered from Achilles tendonitis. But from what I read online, and the fact that you had to go to Germany for this thing.
Yeah, it's not a great look.
Sounds serious. And he's also getting up there in age. So yeah. I'm going to be very curious to see just the explosiveness. Like, is he the CMC of old? Because if he is, I mean, that
I think he is.
Vaults Anthony right back up to the top of the leaderboards in our league and, you know, his contention for the title. But if there's any inkling of, you know, weakness or just not being the same, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
That's fair. All right. That was your news for this week. We had football being played on week 8. How about we dive into that, Earn?
Let's roll.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
We got to update that drop.
Steelers country. Let's ride. Such a big maturity point for Russell Wilson. I think it was when they played the Jets on Sunday Night Football, and somebody like interviewed him and was like, "Hey, what's your new saying?" And he was like, "I don't know. I'm not going to do that." They were like, "Come on, you're Russell Wilson. I know you have one." And they were like, he was like, "Not tonight. Maybe not tonight." I was like, "Way to go, Russ. You would have been all over that in Denver. Signs of maturity." No bye weeks in week 8. And I think the points were back, man. We'll get into this, but some of the final scores of these games were holy bejeebers. If you didn't finish with over 120, you ain't getting a dub this week, man. The stars were out. And also, we are entering the second to last week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Coming into this one, it was Chipotle 8, Qdoba 2. So the Qdoba division, certainly in a hole if they hope to compete and take the title of the best division in this league. We will get into the first matchup of the week. It was Zach and Breece Lightning coming into this one at 3-4, taking on Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan at 5-2.
Before I dive into this super specifically, I just want to say, you know, shout out to the league. Like Chris said, six teams over 140 points.
Pew!
And 9 out of 10 teams over 100. We almost had every team in the league over 100 points.
That's
really I don't know if I've ever seen that in a week before. So shout out to everybody continuing to compete. Let's move on to this matchup here. So with Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan, he got some really good work out of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Bang.
The man was cooking. 11 carries, 127 yards, and one touchdown. And then he's got his other 1-2 punch of Bijan Robinson as well.
He's starting to wake up a little bit.
He's cooking too, which is really nice to see because he's had such a hanging, where is the potential? We were wondering if he could ever be that top five running back. He's running back 4 right now on the season. Really good running back room for Hayden. And I expect that just to continue. Tank Dell got a touchdown against the Colts. And
thank God.
That's a storyline. That is a storyline because you got Stephon Diggs with the ACL, like we already mentioned. Nico Collins still out on IR. I mean, there's not really bodies left outside of Tank.
Not now, then when?
Dalton Schultz, and right, exactly. If not now, then when will it happen? So, love to see that. Derrick Henry, just doing Derrick Henry things. I mean, he didn't have the greatest of games, but 11 carries, 73 yards, and a tutty. I think he'll take that most weeks. Romeo Doubs has been getting some starts for Hayden as of late. He did okay with 10 points. So, a lot of floor games for Hayden this week. I mean, you look at the 117-point total, you don't love it, but you're not, you know, given the circumstances, you're not hating it either. For Zach and Breece Lightning, bit of a down week for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to love, though, Marvin Harrison showing out. I mean, 6 catches, 111 yards, 1 touchdown. in a come from behind victory. That game was kind of crazy at the end.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching Marvin Harrison's highlight reel in this game. He had some incredible catches. I was kind of wondering where that was, you know, up to this point in the season. It just seemed like we weren't seeing the neighbors effect, if you will, in Harrison. And so I feel like we finally are seeing that a bit this week, and it was really cool to see that. Outside of that, though, I mean, Njoku had a really solid game for a tight end with a touchdown as well.
I think he's a top five tight end rest of the season.
I agree. I mean, he is doing good.
And you might get there, but I think he might have another top six, seven tight end on his bench. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I was actually going to go down there and highlight some of the bench, because it's basically a weekly thing now that Zach is going to joke about his bench outscoring starters. He's getting pretty good at that skill. Yeah, I mean, just some of the other point totals are just not what you want to see. The start of Tyler Lockett was head scratching. Mm-hmm. I would think maybe there's a better play than
no
that.
DK, so maybe he thought that, but.
Yeah, I could see the logic there, but against Buffalo, that's a tough matchup. And yeah, didn't get a lot of targets, even despite DK being out. Bijan Robinson, 8 points. Wandale Robinson, the Robinson brothers, it looks like, in the flex.
And for the folks at home, that's Brian Robinson.
Oh, yeah, Brian. If I misspoke, my apologies. But yeah, Brian Robinson. So just had some not so great games starting four running backs. You expect more from Breece Hall, only had 9 points. So that led to a less than optimal point total for him. Final score was two Infinity Bijan and Hayden, 117. Zach and Breece Lightning, 104.
Yeah, and I already tapped on it, but Cade Otton on Zach's bench, Josh Downs on Zach's bench. Talk about two guys that it's going to be shocking if they're not in your lineup moving forward, especially Mr. Downs, Michael Pittman. We love AR. This is a pro AR podcast, but we are not going to tease and act like Pittman and Downs are now not alive because of Mr. Flacco starting going forward. So that was your final score. And that one, again, Hayden comes out on top, 116 to 104. He moves to 6-2, keeping up with the Joneses up there at the top of the standings. And Zach falls to 3-5, still slugging it out down there in the Qdoba division. We will move on to the next matchup. Oh, baby. This matchup had a lot of ego on the line, I'll tell you what. And it wasn't even really between the combatants in this, because your final score here was Stretch 143 to Clayton 97. Oh, wait, what's going on here?
Ah!
Oh, okay, wait a minute.
We're here. What's up? Stretch. I heard my name being called last week. I had to come.
Stretch, did you remember Aaron and Tim just pooping all over your team last week? Just
it's
crapping
crazy.
All over it? Saying Clayton? Like, Clayton of all
crazy.
Teams is better than you?
It's crazy. I'm used to it by now. It's, you know, I feel like it's every other week I get shit on by Tim and Aaron, and sometimes you, but you know.
Yeah, it's my job.
Sometimes we pass, you know.
Hey, it's a podcast host job, Stretch. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
It's the way it is. But hey, how's everybody doing?
Good, man. What a surprise. I had no idea you were going to be on.
Oh, I know. I know you didn't. It's a shame Tim couldn't make it. So
you know, I this is going to be better, because I was just going to spend probably half the show just pooping on Aaron and Tim, because I told you guys you were too early on the Clayton train. Like, I love Clayton. I love the Red Rocket. But over Stretch, over my guy here, and Stretch has somebody in the background. What's up, bro?
Yeah. Yep, I do. I'm at a buddy's house. You know, this is really sort of the moment. I'm on his PC right now. No, I think we have a dog right there asleep, just knocked out.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. So many friends on the pod. Nice. Yeah. All right. But yeah, as we were saying, and Stretch stay on is he does have friends. Well,
I do.
I'm not his friend, but
I do.
Just kidding now. But as I was saying, and Stretch, stay on for as long as you would like or just for this review. But you put a whooping on Clayton, my friend. 143-97. For those counting at home, that was the biggest blowout of the week. And I will say, I think Jordan Love's injury in this game had a massive impact on the outcome. Love injured his groin on the opening drive of the game, played the rest of the first half, tried to come out for the second half, but could not do it. And what does that mean? That leaves Jordan Love with 5 points on the week, and that basically chops the legs off of Jaden Reed, right? Finishes with 2 catches, 7.5 points. But that means we got to feed the dog. Feed the beast, Josh Jacobs, man.
Josh Jacobs, dog.
25 carries. Josh Jacobs, dog. 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that Jordan Love injury really had a massive effect on this game that swung it in the favor, but that's giving Clayton too much credit. Yeah, I'll say it. Because when you lose by almost 40 points, one injury doesn't cut it for you, right? The double-decker tight end stacker for Clayton also couldn't get it done. Whopper, whopper. But I will say, another touchdown from Brian Thomas Jr. Respectable 15 points from Bucky Irving, but 4 points from Devin Singletary because his running backs suck. They still suck, and you can't beat the best teams in the league with sucky running backs like that, Clayton. Just ask my boy Stretch down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So only 97 points. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Only 97 points from Clayton, but that allowed Stretch to flex a little bit. Kyler showing signs of life against what is a tough Miami defense for fantasy quarterbacks. And that's especially big since, you know, Call of Duty came out last week. Stretch's wide receiver showed out. James Conner with the most James Conner stat line in the world. 20 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown. But like I said, the running backs are going to continue to be the Achilles heel for Clayton. And with Devin Singletary pretty much being the running back two in New York now, it's time to turn to Tyler Algier, baby, because that's what we're doing. Final score, Stretch 143, Clayton 97. Stretch, your thoughts. Were you scared coming into this matchup? Were you scared?
No. I need to hear Aaron's thoughts first. Then I'll talk. Let's hear Aaron's thoughts, who just decided to just talk an ungodly amount of crap.
Ooh, Clayton. Clayton.
Listen, I really was hoping that Clayton would listen to the pod and maybe try to play somebody other than Jordan Love because, I don't know, he's got a certain QB2 on his bench, Baker Mayfield, who put up 27
another week
this week, by the way.
Another week of what do I got to do if I'm Baker Mayfield? Quarterback I mean, two.
This is literally the, what, fifth week in a row that he's had 27 points or more. I mean, he is going off every week. That would have made this matchup a little closer, but I gotta, you know, give credit where credit's due.
Stretch
beat Clayton straight up, and he had an incredible game from Josh Jacobs, which, again, pointing out the injuries, I don't know if Josh Jacobs necessarily does that well given the injuries, but he's been decently solid all season. Just this is his highest point total, I would say, by a large margin. He had 20 points the week before, but before then he had 4 games pretty much throughout. So there were some storylines there that still makes me optimistic. You know, if things maybe would have bounced a different way, that Clayton would have been right there up in the 120s, 130s. But Stretch, he won it fair and square, 140 points. You randomly do that sometimes. So well done.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. He didn't. Yeah, I don't really have much thoughts. Just the only thought I have is that my lowest point total was Ken Walker, which was kind of
I'll take
odd.
Him off your hands. I love Ken Walker. I love okay. Ken Walker.
Me too. But can you guess, because you're just talking about Josh Jacobs not doing that well, can you guess?
Uh-oh, we're losing him.
The RB, what number RB he is on the year.
What number RB?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. I'm going to guess
okay.
Running back 14.
Aaron?
I'll do like one less. I'll do RB 13.
RB 10. He's RB 10. So
okay.
Not doing that bad. So
he's an RB1. All right.
He is. But anyway, so I don't really have many thoughts. It's just I think I have too much depth in my roster. And so
welcome to the team, buddy.
It's making me think some things. But the Devontae Stacker combined.
Does the Devontae Stacker deserve a drop?
A what?
Does it deserve a whopper, the Devontae Stacker?
Let's hear it. Whopper. Thank you.
Devontae Stacker.
But we'll I guess, you know, it was a good week. We'll take a good week. You know how it is. I either put up 80 or I put up 140. There's no in between.
That's right. Before we there let really you go. Is. Oh, so good. Good.
I was going to say, there really isn't. I feel like that is your team. It's like you either are going off and highest point total of the week in contention for that or the lowest.
it's a roller coaster. It really is.
And when it's high, it's fantastic. Top 2-3 team in the league. And when it's low, it's like, who is this guy and who can he beat?
Right. Sure. The only other thing is I did miss, what was the AR talk? I want to hear this. I wasn't here.
Oh, dude, we just spent like 25 minutes on it. I think the title of this episode is just going to be, yo, we talk about AR for like 25 minutes. This is just us getting us off our chest. I mean, while we're here, let's just keep it going. Stretch, what are your thoughts? Is the Colts organization washed and done, or is there still hope? Oh, no. It's a frozen stretch. Oh,
I'm here. I'm back.
All right. There he is.
All right. What was the question? The Colts organization, what?
Yeah. Are they poopy, or is there still hope for us to believe in something?
I think there's still hope, but he 100% deserved to be benched.
Okay. My main argument was, like, when I first heard it, I was like, this is ridiculous. I hate everything about the Colts organization. But the more I thought about it, I think the tap-out play had a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah. It drove him over the edge. Like, don't get me wrong. He has been playing well, but I think they still would have stuck with him. But I think combined with his poor play on top of the tap out, they're just like, okay, it's done. But he has all the potential in the world. Like, this potential is through the roof. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there's a lot of notion where rookies have to start, rookies have to play, and there's no more sit behind a veteran and learn from anything. And I think that this is one of those scenarios where he could have very benefited from just sitting for a year or two, but
probably
that's just my quick thoughts. So yeah.
You're probably right. How dare you come at this with such a balanced, nice approach?
Anthony doesn't think that. Anthony thinks it's not balanced at all.
Anthony,
and I suck.
Anthony's
upset.
I think you bench him for now. I was kind of talking about this with Chris. I mean, I agree with you on the performance piece. I just think you threaten losing the locker room if you're not putting the best player out there to give you the best chance to win.
I agree. Well,
all right. There you have it, boys.
Well,
Stretch, before you go, real quick, what are your chances this year? Are you winning another nut? You going 3-for-4? Or, sorry, 3-for-5?
I wouldn't say it's a definite, but the possibility is always there. You know how my team is. Mm. Just depends on the week.
Very humble. So. Very political.
But you know how it is. We just retool and restack for every year. I'm always a force.
You going to keep rolling the Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, double jets?
It's not looking good right now. We'll decide after the game what I decide to do.
Save all comments for after.
But I think if the Jets can pull it together with all the talent that they have, they can at least go for 30 minimum between the two a week. So
probably. Yeah.
So if you just put both of them, it's kind of like a handcuff situation where, you know, the good old Taysom Hill was Alvin Kamara's handcuff. So I just play both. Now it's, I play Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson together. So,
yeah, you are always annoyingly going to be around the top stretch. I don't think anybody disputes that. Emphasis on annoyingly. You're just there.
Thanks,
you're
love
just
you
there.
Guys.
You know. All right, Stretch. Man. Thanks for joining.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Aaron, we got to burn through these reviews because we were about to have a 2-hour-long episode, my guy. So, yeah. Again.
What a nice surprise, though. Shout out, Stretch.
Hey, anytime I really wish Tim was here because we were just going to bash you guys for like 20 minutes about how I was right. And we were just going to do it. We were going to have fun. Anyway, in case you missed it and all that, again, one more time, Stretch 143, Clayton 97, Stretch firmly entrenches himself in the fight for Qdoba, while Clayton, despite the hype, still finds himself 2 games under .500. So still a lot of work to do there for the Red Rocket. We will move on to the next game quickly. It was your boy, Chris, in 5-2, taking on Don and Njigma's in Paris at 0-7. And holy moly.
Oh my goodness.
Where did this come from, brother?
Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Nobody saw this coming at all. At all. You got Don and Njigba's in Paris against Chris and Team Fairlife. And I just want to set the scene by just stating the final score to start, because it is shocking. Chris wins by a hair. By the hair on his chin hair. 149-144.
Holy crap. What the hell is Don doing putting up 144, bro?
Both teams over 140 points. I want to just start with Chris's team, because I think Don's is just going to be insane to talk about on the back end of this. But you start Josh Allen, I think, where he deserves to play in your lineup in the starting quarterback role. I realize you were starting Jaden Daniels for a while, you know, give him his props. He was the QB1, and, you know, he also scored 24 points, but he had a touchdown.
Bruised rib. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't confidently start him. And I mean, it's just your lineup doesn't seem the same without the Stallion in there, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And he just always puts up points. So always solid to see him there. DeAndre Swift, since week 4, is just crushing it. He is dominating, and you are responding accordingly, putting him right in your starting running back slot. He says, I don't care about what happened previously or what the perception was. Get DeAndre Swift in the lineup. Get him in the guarantees.
For real. He's really fighting to get rid of the Najee Swift nickname.
Yes, he really is. He might be erasing that here soon.
I feel like ever since I put that on, that he's been eating.
Yeah.
Maybe I keep it.
Yeah. And then, man, I bet it feels good to have Tua back for you and have Devonta Chan actually relevant. 27 points.
That's real nice.
For the kid. 10 carries, 97 yards, 9.7 yards a carry. I feel like that's his career average or close to it.
Yeah.
Something crazy. So he's back to form. You gotta love that. Cooper Kupp had 16. Not a great performance, but a very solid one. You'll take that. And Kyren Williams just continuing to do Kyren Williams things. Feel like he gets 15 to 20 every game. It just sort of seems that way. Like, he's just very safe. Always scores a touchdown. Never is going to fail you. That led to a big point total for you. Let's talk about the big point total for Don, because that is the big surprise of this matchup. You had points galore for Team Njigba's in Paris. Chris Olave with 19. Terry McLaurin with 18. Tyler Kraft with 17.
Because of course he did.
Tony Pollard, 15. J.K. Dobbins, 17. Brock Purdy, 27 points.
Very good overall, like, all-around performance from Don. Like, really just good.
Solid everywhere. George Pickens had 11.4.
That's Smith the Jacob, key.
12.9.
That's
and I'm gonna
the key.
Not specifically, because that was the key to the game. Don thought he had it won. He really did. I think you thought he had it won.
Just ask Alyssa. This was like the most I've been like paralyzed watching a game. Like, trading George Pickens, and then of course he's Monday night, down 16 points. I'm like, this is it. This is why I'm gonna lose. And of course he had those two touchdowns called back, which were, whew, what a win in the game. But honestly, this is why I traded George Pickens, man. I was like, this is the exact position I would find myself in, and he would fail me. And he failed again by 1 foot, by not both feet, actually.
Yeah, which I was going to ask you this. Do you feel like the NFL might take a second look at this play in particular? And like, it's a really weird thing, right? Because like
I
if
don't think so. I think the 2 feet, like, I don't know about you, but my first instinct, obviously when I saw it real time, it looked like a touchdown, easy touchdown. But whenever I saw the review, like some people's natural instinct was, oh, he got 2 feet down because he tapped his foot twice. That's two. But my natural instinct was he didn't get both feet in. I always thought it's been both feet, not 2 feet, if that makes sense. Like, did you feel one way or the other? Like, did you think it's always been like 2 feet or like both feet?
I think it's, I
I've
think it's
always
always,
been both.
yeah. I think inherently I've always thought of it as 2 feet, but like never the same foot. So it just was a weird thing for me to like
It's harder to
consider.
do.
Yeah. Cause like I think in our group chat, we were talking about it. In theory, if somebody's just hopping on one leg to the end zone, is that not a touchdown?
Right.
Which it's like, when you put it that way, I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyway, so we, as we stated here, it was just an incredible game. Don almost came out on top, but was so close, but yet so far away. He stays winless, as we mentioned, the final score, Team Fairlife 149 and Jigbas in Paris 144.
And win watch continues for Don, man. Sheesh. He almost took down a Titan, man, for his first win. That would have been a heck of a story, man. So again, Don falls to 0-8. I scrap by to 6-2. Again, Don with the third, or I'm sorry, fourth highest points scored on the week. But again, when you have 152, 143, that's an accomplishment, man. Congrats to Don. I almost want to count this as a win, like a ceremonial win. I almost want to say like the win watch is over, but it's not.
Moral
Because,
victory,
right,
Don.
moral victory for sure. All right, we will get into the next matchup. It was the Sun God Squad and Aaron coming into this one at 4-3, taking on Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 1-6. And Aaron, the plan is going perfectly, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The plans.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, he gets a team to step up against him, and the Sun Quad Squad is defeated by Mount Passmore 100-141. How good did that 0 points from Tyler Goodson feel in the running back spot?
Pretty great. And he almost made me really mad that he scored a touchdown because his lone target was in the end
Yeah,
zone. He could have
dropped.
easily been a 8 point
Yeah,
play at least.
yeah.
So
Perfect throw, but no, the media won't tell you that because Anthony Richardson sucks. Whatever.
there is dog water out on the waivers for running backs, by the way.
There sure is. Yeah. Sean Tucker, we love the talent, but when you got Rashad White and Bucky Irving both healthy, you're going to get 2 carries and 1 catch, 2.5 points. Even Amon-Ra St. Brown contributed to the master plan, only putting up 8.7
My
points.
boy, my boy.
Right. But as soon as all looked clear, Kyle Pitts, 4 catches, 91 yards, 2 TDs. Ladd McConkey,
Let's go.
6 catches, 111 yards, 2 TDs, 25 and 29 points, respectively. All of a sudden, hey, Aaron, you're not going softly into that good night. But Steven, similar to Don, put up one hell of a performance, man. And that double decker tight end stacker. I feel like those are becoming kind of popular. I feel like
Whopper, whopper, whopper,
I'm
whopper.
having to press that button a lot more because George Kittle and Evan Ingram get it done. We have Jonathan Taylor returning to form back from injury. Sam Darnold even doing his part with 22 points. And even Khalil Shakir, I think, continuously establishing himself as the number one target. Unfortunately for me as a Dalton Kincaid owner, but definitely the number one wide receiver in that Buffalo Bills offense with Josh Allen. No huge news on to touch on in the bench unless you're a Mark Andrews supporter. Shout out Aaron. He seems to be alive. But again, your final score there was Aaron 100, Steven 141. Steven moves to 2-6 while the Sun God Squad falls to 4-4. Where does that put him in the playoff positioning? We will soon find out after our final game, which was our game of the week, and what a game it was.
An unbelievable game it was indeed. We start with the quarterback positions for both of these teams. Jalen Hurts with 37 points, including 3 rushing touchdowns. How about that? Jalen Hurts coming back to top QB form. We also had Lamar Jackson with 28 points.
What a
clash.
Just
doing Lamar Jackson things. Unreal performance from him as usual. Joe Mixon looks like he has been the steal of this year. Anytime he's out there, he is dominating. 23 points for Team Uninspired Youth. And as we just continue to go down the lineup here, we just have star power everywhere. We got Justin Jefferson getting 19 points. Travis Kelce, hey, look at the kid.
Hey, look at him.
He's coming back. 10 catches, 90 yards, and a tutty for 24 points. The stack with Zay Flowers is, in fact, working. 18.5 for Zay. Very unfortunate news on Stephon Diggs with the torn Achilles.
Yeah, it stinks.
Anthony will surely miss that, but we got to persevere. Amari Cooper, better days ahead. Looking at Tim's team, we got Ja'Marr Chase. We got Tyreek Hill. Solid performances. Thank you, Tua Tagovailoa, for coming back. Tyreek's going to be now relevant. Sam Laporta, scoring points.
Look at him.
Look at the kid. We got tight ends just scoring tutties all over the place on National Tight End Day.
True.
That was fun. C.D. Lamb.
Sunday Tim night.
Was exactly where the game was won for Tim Raider. It looked like Anthony had this in the bag.
Final player.
Final player. He needed a monster superhero performance. He
needed 33 points.
He got almost 40 out of CD against the 49ers. Unbelievable. That's why you have CD on your team, though, for those moments where your team is down and out. Tim gets an impressive win against the top 4 team in our league. Final score, 152 to 145.
Tim said he went to bed whenever CD Lamb was in play. Soon he lost, but I mean, you said it. That's why you have CeeDee Lamb on your team, man. He can do this, and he single-handedly wins Tim this matchup. I will briefly touch on one Tyrone Tracy on Tim's bench. Is he the running back for the Giants moving forward? I think he has to be, right?
I think he is. Yeah. Am I jealous that I don't have him? Yes.
As am I. 20 carries to Devin Singletary's 2 carries. And I think that's actually really important. With Jordan Mason seemingly expiring coming up here, you know, he could turn to Najee Harris. He could have turned to Raheem Mostert. But again, if you have a rookie that is RB1 in a offense that can move the ball, hey, congratulations, Tim. That Tyrone Tracy might be enough to swing the power rankings in favor of Tim there, in my opinion. But that was your game of the week. 2-5-2 teams came in here. One walked out victorious on the back of CeeDee Lamb's massive shoulders. It was Tim and close but no Ja'Marr winning this one, 152 to 145. He moves up to 6-2, while Anthony falls to 5-3. And why is that significant? Well, I'm about to tell you. If the season were to end today, ladies and gentlemen, your number one seed would be your boy, Team Fairlife, sitting on top of the Chipotle division at 6-2 with 1,072 points scored. The number two seed would be Tim, sitting on top of the Qdoba division, close but no Ja'Marr at 6-2 with 1,065 points scored. As you know, the winner of the Chipotle and Qdoba divisions are automatically the 1 and 2 seeds, receive a bye in the playoffs. So I currently have the one seed by a whopping 7 points right now, is how that turns out. Very close at the top, me and Tim battling it out. At 3 seed, it is another 6-2 team, Tua Infinity and Bijan at Hayden, but he is over 100 points behind Tim. So I do think there's a tier there. At number 4 seed, we have Team Uninspired Youth and Anthony at 5-3 with 1,033 points, closely behind the always omnipresent Walker, a hardly knower, and Stretch at 5-3, only about 27 points behind Anthony for that 4 seed. And in the 6 seed, still hanging out, it's the Sun God Squad. It's Aaron at 4-4, 849 points scored, which is lower than the two teams on the bubble. The Red Rocket at 3-5, and Breeze Lightning also at 3-5. Aaron, you're probably not expecting to stay there at the 6 seed for much longer, am I right?
No, I'm expecting to just literally drop to the bottom. 849 is really not good. I should not be making the playoffs.
That's fair. That's fair. Again, that is if the standings were to end today. So I would say that fight for the last playoff spot is going to be one to watch between Breeze Lightning, the Red Rocket, and maybe even the Sun God Squad if he happens to find himself falling into that battle that he probably doesn't want. So
no.
Week 8 is over.
Destroy me, please.
Oh, one last thing before we move on. Qdoba 3, Chipotle 2 was the result in week 8. Qdoba steps up, gets a 1-point advantage, which leaves the score now at Chipotle 10, Qdoba 5, which actually makes something to watch for on the last week, because I remember saying I wanted Chipotle to double up Qdoba. That's what I wanted. I wanted us to at least double you guys up, so we have our work cut out for us heading into week 9. But that was a lot of football talk. Let's talk about that shmoney. Aaron, what do you say we get into it?
Let's do it.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah.
From week 8, Rashad White over 3.5 catches. Kareem Hunt, anytime touchdown scorer. And Joe Mixon, 80 plus rushing yards. Barely, but we got it. We got the This League Guarantee once again, plus 642 straight to your accounts on your preferred sportsbook platform. That we got it last week. The week before, we were off 1, but the week before that, we also got it. So we're 2-for-3 from the last 3 weeks, and I'm liking this one quite a bit as we're going into this one. And I'm feeling good. I think we're on route for another one. So Aaron, I'll have you start your leg of the guarantee.
We're going back to the well, baby. We are
all reliable.
Ray Swift over 60 rushing yards against the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Cardinals defense is susceptible to the ground game.
They're susceptible to everything.
Stats, but yes, they historically, especially this year, are going to be a team that DeAndre should have no issue getting to this rushing yard total for. So I like it a lot. I think we keep staying in the flames with DeAndre Swift. Why not? Why not us?
Why not us, says DeAndre Swift. I'll jump in here with Tim's anytime touchdown score. He's sick. And what do you do when you're sick? You go to things that make you feel comfortable, things you're familiar with. And he's going to go with Jamar Chase, anytime touchdown scorer against the Las Vegas Raiders. He didn't provide any stats. I don't have any stats for you. I guess this one's just vibes. But it's minus 140, so it's probably going to happen. And I consider that to be a pretty good leg of the guarantee. So he is Jamar Chase, anytime touchdown scorer. And my leg, I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit whenever I wrote this one. But the more I looked at it, the more it kind of made sense, in my opinion. So we're going to go with Cortland Sutton over 50 receiving yards against the Ravens. Cortland Sutton over 50 receiving yards. The Ravens are scary, right? Scary defense on the road. Wrong. Actually, the Baltimore Ravens are allowing the most receiving yards and the most receiving touchdowns in football right now. Obviously, I don't think your offense helps that because they're putting up over 30 every week, but that goes more towards my point, right? Ravens have a high-powered offense. Bo Nix is going to need to throw the ball, and I don't know about you, but my thought when I think of Denver is like run heavy, Bo Nix, safe throws, short throws, you move the ball down the field. Bo Nix has thrown the ball over 25 times in all of his games. All right, last week I think he threw the ball like 37 times. Sean Payton is allowing Bo Nix to throw the ball, And another thing I thought was happening with Denver was like this transition to the youth wide receivers, right? You have Devonte Vale, you got Marvin Mims, you got Troy Franklin down there, all these young guys. And I'm thinking, okay, Cortland Sutton's probably getting phased out, right? That hasn't really happened yet. Last game, Cortland Sutton had 11 targets. The next highest target getter on the Denver Broncos was my boy Lil Jordan Humphrey with 6 targets. I think Troy Franklin had 3. Devonte Vale had 2. That is not happening yet. Cortland Sutton is very obviously still the wide receiver 1 for this game, for this team. We know that Bo Nix has been turning it on, slinging the rock to his number 1 target against the defense that has allowed the most receiving yards in the league. Over 50 receiving yards seems like a gimme to me. Give me that -105.
You've convinced me. I think I can get up for this, but I also will just say it's Halloween, so let's be a little scary with our picks.
Let's be a little spooky. even Swift, like, we've been in the fire, but he's still a little spooky. It's DeAndre Swift, you know?
Yeah.
A spooky guarantee. I like it. All right. One time for the folks at home, get your app out. DeAndre Swift, over 60 rushing yards. Ja'Marr Chase, anytime touchdown score. And Cortland Sutton, over 50 yards against the Baltimore Ravens. +431. $10 will win you $53. That's a nice little payday. Add a couple more zeros on there. Pay your rent off for the year. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. All right. That was your This League guarantee for this week. Let us know your thoughts, and we will go ahead and dive in to week 9. We welcome back nobody because we had nobody on bye last week. What a great, beautiful week that was. But unfortunately, we had to come back down to the earth. We say goodbye to your Pittsburgh Steelers and your San Francisco 49ers this week. No Purdy, no Debo, no Najee, no Pickens, all of that jazz. Quick little announcement. In case you forgot, a rule we adopted this last election day, the trade deadline in a normal year would be coming up. But with the rule that we adopted last year, the trade deadline is now the last week of the regular season. So as soon as kickoff happens, week, what is our regular season, 14?
Mm-hmm.
15, 16, yeah. Week 14, that is when it starts. So still have some time, although I think laws of business would tell you the longer you wait, the higher the player that you want is probably going to cost, especially for the playoff teams that are trying to make that push. So no trade deadline until the playoffs, but again, probably best not to wait unless you want to be absolutely fleeced in all likelihood. We are heading into the final week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic, ladies and gentlemen. It is currently Chipotle 10, Qdoba 5. Chipotle, I need 3 dubs this week. 3 dubs so we can double up these guys. Actually, no, I need 4 because then it would be 14-6. Yeah, we need 4 dubs to double up these guys. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. And it will start with, I would consider, the co-game of the week because it's a big one. It is between 2 teams who are 5-3. And, of course, I am talking about Stretch and Walker, a hardly knower, taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. Both teams coming into this one at 5-3. This one is a big one. If Anthony wants to keep up in the Chipotle division, you got Hayden at 6-2. You got myself at 6-2. If Anthony wants to keep up, he needs to win this game. Same for Stretch. Tim has a very big game this week. So if Stretch wins this week, he could potentially tie Tim at the top of the Qdoba division. Or if you lose and Tim wins, very similar position to Anthony where you may find yourself in a hole. We are all Thursday night football. So I will say a lot of Thursday night gadgets in this game. For Stretch, you have Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams, the Jets duo. Garrett Wilson with a tutty, Davante Adams with 37 yards. So they're not killing you. They're not doing anything great. And Joe Mixon is just being Joe Mixon. 96 yards, a tutty already for Anthony. We have 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And it currently stands with Anthony with a 59% chance of victory. I ain't going to hold you, Aaron. I am not really looking the way Team Uninspired, not liking the way they look this week. I mentioned how much the Stephon Diggs injury is going to hurt him, I think. That means he does have to turn to Amari Cooper because since joining Buffalo, you know, 2 targets last week. Yeah, it was your first game. I get it. Yeah, it was your first game. So No, it wasn't. He played 2 weeks ago. But still, 2 targets, 5 targets. You know, he barely played 50% of snaps last week. So unless you see that increase, I'm a little nervous seeing him in that lineup. Zay Flowers, again, what's that Deontay Johnson effect going to look like? Getting that Pat Surtain treatment this week in Denver. Ramondre Stevenson heading up against a tough Tennessee defense. There's just a lot of stuff going against Anthony right now. But in all seriousness, he has Justin Jefferson playing against the Colts.
Go Colts.
So he's probably going to score 40, and that could very well keep you in the game. While Stretch, he mentioned it earlier, he may have a little bit of too good of a depth problem as it is right now. We got Darnell Mooney, who is currently the wide receiver 13 in fantasy football, on his bench. We have James Conner on the bench. You know, two guys I think a lot of people would like. I mean, I even mentioned Dallas Goedert earlier, or not Dallas Goedert, Cortland Sutton earlier, on his bench. So, you know, that does mean he can turn to the likes of David Montgomery, Kenneth Walker, Devontae Smith, which I think are all great starts when you look at it this week. Sleeper likes Anthony. I'm actually going to go Stretch, man. I like Stretch in this matchup. Kyler Murray against the Bears makes me a little nervous, but he's at home. I think he should get the job done, and I'm going to go with Stretch, even though he's starting Taysom Hill. Who you got in this game, Aaron?
I'm going to double down on my hating on Stretch's team.
He hasn't learned his lesson.
I'm going to go Anthony. I think Anthony wins this game. I'm excited whenever the podcast comes up next week, because I'll be like, I told you, and it's going to be on the back of, like you mentioned, Justin Jefferson going up against the Colts on Sunday Night Football.
Go
in prime time.
I love that. Travis Kelce in prime time as well. Give me Anthony.
All right. Has Tim filled out his pick'ems?
He has not.
All right. Well, we'll force him to fill them out before Sunday so he doesn't cheat on the standings, which I'm sure we will give you an update on that soon. But that is one for Stretch, one for Anthony. I think that tells you how close this game is. And it should have a very lasting impact on the standings, playoff positions, all of that jazz. We will move on to the next game. It is Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 2-6, taking on everybody's favorite, America's favorite, Clayton and the Red Rocket at 3-5.
And in this matchup, we have the phenomenal running back duo for Clayton.
Stop.
Bucky Irving and Tyler Allgeier.
Get you some running backs, dog. You want Jerome Ford?
It's a bit ugly. I'm not going to lie. I am not going to sit here and say it's not. But the other aspects of his lineup, we just can't ignore, right? He's got the top two tight ends in all of fantasy football. I expect them to both have some big games this week. Drake London has been producing all year long. Wide receiver 5 on the season. I mean, that guy is doing really well. Brian Thomas, if he can stay healthy, he's wide receiver 7 on the season. He is also doing really well.
You guys are slowly proving me wrong about him. I'm still not on the Brian Thomas train, but maybe I should be because he is wide receiver 7.
You should be. Get on the train because he is here. And then Jaden Reed, just for S's and G's, wide receiver 10 on the year. So hopefully Jordan Love is back. He can have all of his weapons at full disposal. Man, this is a tough one for me. Because when you go look at Steven, he's got some really solid matchups, right? Sam Darnold at home against the Colts. I expect him to air it up. Jacoby Myers, now without Devontae Adams in the picture, maybe he starts getting going a little bit. DK Metcalf, if he can go.
That's huge.
At home against the Rams. And Khalil Shakir has been a pretty solid flex play in recent weeks. You love Jonathan Taylor, too, just for the volume's sake. I mean, maybe he won't be super explosive, but I do like that matchup as well. Man,
this is tough.
I knew exactly who I was going with, and now as I'm going through it, I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm gonna ride with Clayton. I am. I'm gonna ride again with Clayton. I think that the star power that he has in his lineup is gonna be just enough. I think he will get it done.
I don't want to just for the bit, but I think I got to roll with the tight end stacker.
Whopper, 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 whopper.
And go with Clayton simply because it is Thursday. T. Higgins is not practiced this week. DK Metcalf is not practiced this week, which means you might have to turn to Jordan Addison, which I actually like him in this matchup against the Colts. I can see Gus Bradley like annoyingly triple teaming Justin Jefferson and allowing Jordan Addison just to dot us up all over the place. And then if T. Higgins can't go, I mean, you're turning to Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, not great.
Like, because one thing we didn't mention, but Christian Kirk went down for the year for him as well last week. So I think I'm going to roll Clayton. Just because if those guys are out, which all signs are pointing to that, I just don't think Steven has the depth to compete. So I am picking Tyler Algier and Bucky Irving to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. It is tough, though. I can see it being close.
Well, there we go. Speaking of close, as we get into our next matchup, it is the Sun God Squad and Aaron at 4-4 taking on Njigbas in Paris and Don at 0-8. Don is on wind watch. This is a gross game, but honestly, after a seriously impressive weekend by Don last week, he's coming into this one with some confidence. All he has to worry about is Tyler Goodson and Sean Tucker again. I mean, you are... This is a pristine tanking job you're doing, Aaron. I mean, I was about to say, surely there's somebody out there better than Tyler Goodson, Sean Tucker, and Andre Estime on your bench, but there's really not. You just traded away all of your running back assets, which props to you, man. It's actually pretty funny.
I'm sticking to the plan. Yeah. I'm committed to the tanking, baby.
Yeah. Even Clayton is like, dude, your running backs are kind of boo-boo, bro. But I mean, Aaron, unfortunately for you, man, with as good of people as Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, tight end four Kyle Pitts, and two tutty Mossin people, Ladd McConkie, in your lineup, you're going to be competitive in this game, especially with St. Brown and A.J. Brown. There's nobody on Don's side of the roster that can compete with the high-end upside of those guys. As a matter of fact, Don's almost the opposite, right? He has a lot of really good pieces up and down his lineup, but nobody that you really think can like blow up for 40 like an Amon-Ra or an A.J. Brown can, right? Maybe your best lineup is Terry McLaurin against the Giants with Jaden Daniels, but even that, I think, you know, Terry McLaurin's highest output this year was 23 points. So he doesn't have that high-end upside that makes somebody nervous, you know, if we're going into the game and he needs a lot of points. I don't think that's going to happen. You look at the bench for both of these guys. Again, for Aaron, not a lot of decisions to be made. Do we try to get Mark Andrews in there? Maybe. I don't know. I do like the Caleb Williams start at the quarterback position. As for Don, George Pickens is on bye, and we already lost Brandon Ayuk for the year, which means the only people we could really turn to is maybe Xavier Leggett against the Saints. That could be fun. If you're bored and want something funny to listen to, go listen to Xavier Leggett's interview where he is talking about the foods he doesn't like, because it is fascinating how that man talks. It is absolutely fascinating.
He's so country.
I really eat eating asparagus, and I can't eat seafood because I'm allergic. It's pretty crazy.
Allergic.
I love me some Xavier Leggett, man. Do I think Don ends win watch this week? I don't think he does. Despite Tyler Goodson and Sean Tucker. Aaron, I think you come out on top on this one.
I hate to hear that. I'm not picking myself. I'm picking Don because I need to keep losing. That's a part of the the game plan, right? Got to keep losing. So, man, never would I thought in my life that I'd be starting the quality of running backs that I am.
It's tough, man.
It's here. So, yeah. Trust the process.
Trust the process. One for Don to hopefully get off the schneid, pick up his first win of the year, or does Aaron annoyingly stay in the playoff race?
I probably will win.
I think you might, man.
I mean, it's insane. I think I have the lowest points for in the league. Nope. Don does, but barely. I'm barely at 850. Don's at 808.
Nice. All right. We'll go on to our next matchup. It is your boy, Chris, and Team Fairlife coming into this one at 6-2, taking on Zach and Breece Lightning coming into this one at 3-5.
And in this matchup, we, like you just mentioned, have Chris and his almighty stallion back in the lineup. Taking on Miami at home, that should be a decent game, weather permitting. It looks like there might be a little rain going on potentially, so we'll have to see how that turns out. You then also have in the same game, Devon Achan.
Let's go.
At Buffalo. So James Cook as well versus Miami and Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I'll be watching that game.
Are you going to basically just be watching?
I'll be watching that game.
Because it pretty much determines whether you're going to have a good fantasy week or not.
Right.
Alvin Kamara at Carolina. Chris, you must just be salivating.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
That's a great matchup for you. He's projected for 18 points, which is nuts. He's going to have a good game. Kyren Williams going to do his thing. Neighbors against the soft Washington secondary.
Yummy, yummy.
That's gonna be nice. How you feeling about Cooper Kupp, though? A so-so game when he came back last week, but Bukunikua got injured today in practice. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. He went out with a knee injury, which I don't have any updates on that. Maybe we can check on that as the show goes on. But I really talked to the boys in the locker room. Michael Pittman might make an appearance this week, man. Boost morale. We got Josh Downs on the other side, which I'm sure you'll talk about, so that could be fun. But Cooper Kupp, his spot is not solidified. Either it's James Cook, because, I mean, we got DeAndre Swift on the bench. We'll get into all that. But, yeah, there still might be some shuffling around, but a lot of good pieces.
Absolutely. And then you go over to Zach's side, starting Jared Goff at Green Bay, which seems like that's a good decision, especially given the fact that CJ Stroud has 4.4 points right now against the Jets. You got Breece Hall on Thursday Night Football right now, not doing too much. He probably needs at least a touchdown to kind of get a respectable point total for the week. Josh Downs, like you already mentioned, I like him with Joe Flacco at the helm.
I have a question for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, rest of the season.
With Joe Flacco now, Josh Downs.
Really? Really? I am kind of surprised people are anointing him so quickly as the wide receiver one in this offense. Like, I understand he's played better than Pittman the last couple games, but Pittman has this weird back thing going on where the games he was playing with Flacco, he was supposed to go on IR and then he comes back. I'm assuming he's feeling better. He had more targets than Downs with AR. I'm surprised. Not only just you, but I feel like the fantasy community as a whole are already kind of anointing Josh Downs as the wide receiver one in that offense.
Yeah, and I say that just because if you go watch the Jacksonville game, like if you have some time this week, go rewatch Jacksonville Colts when we were in Jacksonville. I mean, there was so many plays that Flacco had only eyes for Josh Downs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fair. It's like automatic. He was the hot route read. He just was on the same page. He's going to get so much PPR volume that I think makes him especially relevant in our league. If it was half PPR, I might have a different answer, but full PPR, I think definitely Josh Downs.
All right, that's fair.
Moving on, Marvin Harrison, hopefully he can kind of get back to his normal ways here of, you know, insane catches against Chicago. Njoku is questionable. We'll see if he's full strength, but every bit of a tight end one this year, which has been exciting for Zach. And then you got your flexes. Don't love them. Wandale Robinson, I'm still a little iffy on. He's been somewhat consistent, kind of has been really trailing off a little bit, but he's still the wide receiver 20 on the season, which is respectable. So, man, I think I was trying to think of a way for Zach to win this game. I don't see it. I don't see it in the matchups, and I don't see it with the players on paper. I think, Chris, you are going to win this fairly easily.
Yeah, we better not have another Dawn episode. I'm going to pick me as well. I think the only lineup decision I can think of, does Zach try to get Kate Otten in his lineup? Huge week last week. Looked like the number one receiver for Baker Mayfield there. And then a little eyeball emoji this week, if I had to give one, TJ Hockenson off of the IR, expected to be a full go, quote, full go for the Colts. Full allotment of snaps, the whole nine yards this week.
TJ, are you going to maybe start him?
No. I think Kincaid's good enough to just sit and watch for a week. And if I was playing Tim or something, maybe. But I should be able to beat Zach. So I'll sit and wait, watch. Prime time, watch him just grab three touchdowns over Zaire Franklin. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's two for your boy. Again, we will fill you in on Tim's picks next week. But if I win that, I will stay atop the Chipotle division in all likelihood at 7-2, while Breece Lightning would fall to 3-6. We move on to the final game of the week, which makes it your game of the week. And it is the highlight of the Chipotle Qdoba Classic, an absolute titanic climax to this battle between divisions. And of course, I'm talking about Tim and close but no Jamar coming into this one at 6-2, taking on Tua Infinity and Bijan and Hayden also at 6-2. At the end of this week, one of these guys will no longer be tied for the top record in the league. And you just look up and down the lineups and you see why. I literally do not, actually, I take that back. I see one position between the starting lineups, between both teams, that I would not consider a stud in my eyes. Aaron, can you guess who that is?
Starting
lineup, who am I like? Okay, well, he's there.
Mostert.
Oh, actually, oh, I didn't even see Mostert. I guess that makes sense because Najee Harris, Jordan Mason on by. And honestly, I like Mostert a lot. So I'm sorry, they're ours too. But I was talking about Jake Ferguson, tight end for Hayden. Tight end 18 on the year. Yeah, you got Pat Freiermuth on by, which I'm really not sure how he's gone this long, Hayden, without addressing that tight end position. But another position he could potentially start and address is the quarterback position, because we're rolling out Patrick Mahomes still. Aaron, don't look. Do you know what ranking he is on the year? Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Chiefs. Quarterback
23.
Okay, he's 21. But yeah, not even top 12. That's tough. But Hayden, it's either him or Tua at this point. Tua didn't have the greatest of weeks last week. You know, maybe give him a week, but we're rolling Patrick Mahomes against a good lineup or a good matchup against the Bucks. And then Jalen Hurts, which I think Tim probably felt really good last week about Jalen Hurts, because that was the first game I feel like this year, and I don't really own him, and I'm looking back at his roster, I think I'm right. This year, where it was like a true Jalen Hurts game, you know, 37 points last week, which is that's what you expect from Tim. You invested the capital in Jalen Hurts. He's been a top three quarterback the past 2 years, and he finally put up a performance that's like, hey, I'm in, you know, the championship for the nut. I'm playing against the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons. That's what you need to do. and hopefully he can keep that going against a very, very nice, juicy Jacksonville Jaguars matchup. Going into the running backs, you got to give the advantage to Hayden, which is saying something considering Tim is rolling out Saquon Barkley, the running back 3 on the year, and a juicy matchup against the said Jaguars. And we're also rolling out Raheem Mostert, which again, I said I actually really do like that play. I'm a Raheem Mostert slut. I think he's pretty good for 2 catches a game. Holy crap. I just saw the Garrett Wilson catch. Jesus Lord. One-handed? Oh, my God.
Wow. Was it pretty incredible?
That rivals the OB catch, bro. OBJ catch, bro. That's insane. Anyway, go check that out. Goodness gracious. Let's get into these wide receivers. I find it interesting that Tank Dell on Thursday Night Football currently has 4 catches for 70 yards, and the Jets have 12 points, and Hayden still only has a 48% chance of victory, and I do think that boils down to those wide receiver positions. Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill on one side, name 2 wide receivers you'd rather have against Jalen Waddle and Tank Dell. Both guys that had high expectations but have been underperforming this year. I already said Sam Laporta for Tim, Jake Ferguson for Hayden, and then going into the flex positions is where you see the quality of these 2 teams. CeeDee Lamb, Aaron Jones for Tim, Jahmyr Gibbs, Puka Nacua for Hayden. I'm sure he is very happy to hear that name return to his lineup. Star-studded everywhere. When it comes to the benches, you know, if Tim really wanted to go high T, if he really wanted to be cool and next edge, start Tyrone Tracy, bro. I know he's injured. I'm not even sure if he's practiced this week. Yeah, he's limited on Thursday with a concussion, so he's trending towards playing. That would be such a high T move. I mean, for Hayden, you can maybe argue for trying to get Cedric Tillman in there, but I don't think you're going to bench him for, you know, a Jalen Waddle, Puka Nacua at this point. So I think Tim's wide receivers, man, and this is coming from somebody who's also 6-2, but CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, that's literally, is there another wide receiver you'd rather have rest of season than those 3? I can't think of one.
Probably not. I mean, they are the elite of the elite.
And he's got 3 of them, along with Saquon, because some dumbass gave it to him. Or something. I'm kidding. Oh, man. Yeah.
It pained me.
Yeah, the buys, man, with Debo being on buy for Hayden, I think I'm going to roll Tim here, and I actually feel pretty confident about it, honestly. And I just say all that, and Tank Dell just got a massive catch that just swung the projections to 52% for Hayden. But still saying that, I actually feel pretty comfortable still picking Tim here. Those wide receiver trio is just ridiculous. I'm going Tim.
Yeah, I'm going to also roll Tim here. I think Hayden's been a little fortunate with some of the wins that he's gotten, just some of the low point totals that he's faced. There's no escaping that this week. I think there's going to be so many points this week with Saquon against Jacksonville, Jamar Chase against Las Vegas. I mean, just up and down. I mean, the Dallas-Atlanta game could be a shootout. I could see a crazy amount of points for that game too. Yeah, I think there's, even with Tank Dell kind of coming on here at the end of this game against the Jets, I liked him a lot here.
All right. Well, that's 2 for Tim. I'm sure in his sickness, he's happy to hear that. And that is your preview for week 9, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I need 4 Qdoba victories, or excuse me, 4 Chipotle victories to double up these fools. And I think we can do it, team. We can do it. Chipotle forever. Let's go on and get out of here. This League _ Pod. Reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts, what you thought of this show, the trade ring, previews, all that good stuff. And as always, if you're feeling friendly, give us a good rating, share us with your friends, leave us a nice comment, Or as always, bring the boom to that like button, baby. Smash it, grab it, do a little dab on it, whatever you want to do to that like button. Just make sure you hit it. You hit it hard.
Or you can just click it.
Or you can just click it if you want to be boring. Aaron, I had so much fun with you this week, man. I hope you had fun with me, bro.
I did, man. I did. It was a good time. We missed Tim, of course. Tim,
we did.
Feel better. We'll see you next week.
For real. For real. We will be here next week. And like I said, I think the title of this pod is just going to be, we talked about Anthony Richardson for a really long time.
Yep. I like that a lot.
All right, guys. Well, my name is Chris, host of the pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. Love you guys.
Peace. Boom.